seated. Well, good morning. If you see a red thing on my lip, I got lippy with my wife this morning. She gave me a backhand, so that's why it's bleeding. I was looking at her. I was watching everybody. They were looking at me face to face. I said, man, that must be a guy got a split lip. And my wife didn't like the way I was speaking to her this morning, but we won't be doing that again. Lessons learned, I'm just telling you. But anyway, it's good. I usually don't mess with the 11 o'clock service. I'll leave that up to the man of God, who is our preacher. But every once in a while, the Lord just lays something on my heart. I tell him, I say, you know, Pastor, I have a message, I think, for the congregation. And I trust that he goes and he prays about it. And, you know, whether God will give him that peace about it or not. And then he'll tell me. And if he ever said to me no, then that's it. It's no. I would just leave it at that. And we'll move on to a 1 o'clock service or whatever. But I trust his judgment. And I thank God for a man of God that we have. I do pray for him on a daily basis. Not just because he's leaving for Vietnam, but because he has to watch over us, especially a person like me. He's going to put up with it. So I thank God for a man of God. I do pray. I've been praying for Miss Haynes. I mean, Faith, yesterday I prayed twice for her. This morning I was in tears and I said, Lord, if you would, I'll take some of her pain if you'd just give it to me. I'll take it for her if you'd just give it to me. I'll take some of that for Miss Haynes. I'd hate to see her suffering.
Amen.
I just pray God would help her. I love her dearly. She's just very close to my heart, very dear and near. I said, Lord, I'll take some of that pain. I can handle it better than her. I'll take it on my shoulders and I'll take it. But he hasn't given it to me yet, Miss Ham. I'm still praying for it. Be patient. That song I asked, had that sung this morning because this has nothing to do with the message. Psalm 51:17. I'm just going to read that real quick. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And I believe that's missing in America. I believe that's missing in soul winning today. So many people I go and deal with in the jails and prisons, sure they have a broken heart and a broken spirit. They're sitting in prison. Same with those who are addicts. And same with those who are sitting in the pews today. You might be going through some things. And you have a broken heart and a broken spirit. But you know what you're missing? It's the contrition. That deep sorrow for the things that you've done against God. People can't get saved without that deep contrition.
That's right.
There's a third part to that. And it says, in the end, oh God, thou wilt not despise. You go ahead, because there was many times for 4 years I sat in that pew and I came to God with a broken spirit. I came to him with a broken heart. But I never came to him with contrition. The full understanding of what I've done against God. That songwriter understood that. And it goes on and it said, I'm just going to read here. It says, Let me at the throne of mercy find sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, Lord, help my unbelief. And he goes on and it says here that heal my wounded and broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. That songwriter knew what was to be said. That songwriter knew that it just took more than having a broken heart. You know, because it's not one of us. And I tell the guys this all the time in jail and prison. There's not one of you who would sit here and tell me you didn't do wrong. There's not one of you who wouldn't sit here and say you have a broken spirit and a broken heart. But that's not what God's just trying to show you. Proverbs 20:27 says there's a spirit in each man. And it's a candle that God uses to try to light the inward parts of the belly. That place you don't want to go, that's where God wants to go. That thing you don't want to deal with, that's where God wants to go. That's where the deep contrition is going to come. But I'm just telling you now, as God is my witness, you cannot do that with the Romans robe. You can't do that with some prayer. These people need to understand under the law. That's why Paul says that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us under Christ. That law has to be preached. It has to be taught. And as I stand here today, I tell my son this all the time. I don't believe a person can fully know Jesus Christ without knowing that Old Testament. I hear it all the time. People say, well, we don't live in the Old Testament. You're right. But it's going to tell you what Jesus Christ did for you. It's going to show you what it takes. And let me just ask you this. Show me one time in your Bible where Jesus, Paul, Matthew, John, or any of those used the Roman road or prayer to lead anybody to salvation. They never did. What did they use? The law every single time. That's what's missing. Why? Because it's God's law that's going to bring godly sorrow. Not the sorrow from this world, it says, but godly sorrow with that is not to be repented of. People aren't getting the godly sorrow anymore. They're getting the worldly sorrow. They can cry tears of this world for the things they've done against people and so on. And God says, no,
I'm not worried about what you've done against people. I'm worried about what you've done against me. The sin that we sinned against God.
Amen.
The sin that we sinned against God. That's what he's looking for. If you could, turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. You want a soul win? Do you know that God knows when it's time for each person to be saved? You want a soul win? Love them. Don't just come in and try cramming stuff down their throat. Teach them. Show them. Help them understand. Pray for them. Show them that you care. Got that from this hand. It just hit me yesterday. You want people to listen? Show them that you really care. That takes a while to prove to people, especially when you've been in shoes like, you know, me and Miss Tanya and so many other people. Miss Tiffany over there has been some really hard stuff. Brother Mike. It takes a while. But you know what? God's long-suffering. And he knows as long as you are willing, he's willing to strive with you. He's willing to reason with you. Come, let us reason together. Mark 9, going through some pretty hard waters. Not everybody knows our story. There's a few people here I know and I trust. And I'm not saying I don't trust everybody. I don't put it all out there for everybody. But in Mark 9, 14 through 24, I'm going to read that in a minute. The Lord showed me something that shook me to the very foundation. He showed me that I was building my spiritual life and my home on. Sad to say, what I learned was it was not always being built on that solid foundation, who is Jesus Christ. But it was being built on the sinking sands of this world. A few quick examples were I depended on man. I was dependent on physicians. And I was dependent on money for my answers to my troubles. And God let me know that's a no-no. He showed me in Jeremiah 17:5. And it says that cursed the man that trusteth in man. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. King Asa trusted in the physicians. He died because he didn't go to the Lord. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs says, don't trust in the riches. It has wings of the eagle. It's going to fly away. And the Lord showed me, Dale, that's where you're at. And it shook me. Because I was looking in those things for the answers of God. And you know what? They're not always in those things. But I had to be brought to that place where God could show me that. You ask my wife. You ask her the tears and the agony. What I've been going through the past few weeks and what she's been going through so God can show us that. Amen. So that God can bring us to a place where we have nothing else to look at but him. But him. That's a hard place to be. I know some of you may not understand it, but those who understand that know that's a hard place to be, but it's a necessary place to be. Correcting my children, it's hard for me. I was raised in abuse. It was hard for me to correct my children. It's hard for me to spank them. But I knew it was necessary for them to get that. It was necessary because I loved them and I wanted to show them that this has to be not because I'm trying to be mean, but because I love you. And I never corrected my kids in anger ever. I would never do that. I would walk out of the house, leave or whatever. I never wanted to fear them getting a spanking because I was angry. I wanted to have more fear that I could walk in that room calm, knowing they know what I'm going to do and why it's got to be done. And then I would give them their punishment. Let them do what they have to do for a while. I'll go back and I'll speak to them and I'll make them understand why they're getting it. Why? Because no matter how much it hurt me, I knew it was best for them. And God does that same thing with us. God does that to us. And he had to do that to me in my life. To bring us to a place that hurt his heart, but he knew it was best for us. He knew it was going to shake that foundation up a little bit. He knew it was going to make us draw closer to him. Hey, let me just tell you this. When hard times come, if you're going the other way, you're going the wrong way. You need to draw closer to God in those hard times. And when those hard times are over, don't forget about what God just brought you through.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't forget about it. He can remind you real quick.
That's right.
Don't pray to get out of things. Pray to get through things. It's a lesson I learned a few years ago. Pray to get through it. Because you know what? You're going to learn more going through it than out of it. I know it's hard. This is not somebody who's got a perfect life, who sits at home and everything's hunky-dory. It is not. But I know we learn more going through it than out of it. Go through it. Mark 9, we're going to read verse 14 through 24. And it says this: "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with him. And straightway all people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running and saluted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What question ye with them?'" This is Jesus talking. "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whatsoever he taketh, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to this, and I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered," verse 19, "him, and saith, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.'" Verse 20, "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowing, foaming. And he asked his father, 'How long ago since this came unto him?' And he said, 'Of a child.'" Verse 22, "And oftentimes they hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Verse 23, "Jesus said unto him, 'If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.' And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief.'" So we read of a man who brings his son to the disciples that had the devils cast out of him. Well, the setting here is that this is being done in front of the religious crowd. And right away, the disciples cannot cast out the devil. Does this mean that they didn't have the power to do so? No, because we know they've done it before. There's two things that are going on here. First, we see the disciples fail to be able to cast out the devils because they're trying to do it in their own pride. And Jesus Christ is going to pull them aside and he's going to tell them why.
Amen.
They're trying to do it in their own pride. They're trying to do it to show off in front of the religious crowd. And Jesus says, "We're going to stop that right now." He does not allow them to cast this child out. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking up. Get that picture in your head. Otherwise, these two things won't make much sense to you. The same pride that cast the devil out of heaven in the book of Isaiah, verses 14, 12 through 14. That same pride that the disciples are standing there trying to deal with this devil had the devil cast out. The devil got cast out of heaven because of his pride. He said, "I will, I will, I will." The five I wills, what he's going to do against God, how he's going to go above him, and so on and so forth. That's how the disciples approached this devil, this boy who was possessed. They approached him with that same amount of pride in their hearts. And you know what happened? Nothing. The boy still had the devil left in him. Still possessed. Because you know why? They went on their own power and their own pride. Jesus is going to show them that. How do we know the disciples were trying to cast the devil out, the devil being full of pride? Jesus tells them in Mark 9, 28 and 29, he says, "And when he was come to the house," here they are, they're separated now, "and his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast him out?' And he said unto them, 'This kind come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting.'" You got troubles in your life? They just don't seem to go right? Never going to be right until you start praying and fasting. They went on their pride. They didn't think about praying. They didn't think about fasting. They said, "Hey, we've done it before. Let's go do it again. We're okay. Jesus gave us the power. Let's just go and do what we got to do." And Jesus said, "Oh, really? So you've forgotten to do it with me. You've forgotten to pray. And you haven't been fasting. And you're going to go out there and do the work for Jesus Christ?" That's what he told them. These things are only going to come out by prayer and fasting. You're trying to do it in your own pride. You're trying to do it with your own work. And it's not going to happen that way. Hey, I'm just telling you now, if you ain't reading your Bible, if you ain't studying, I know I harp on this a lot, but I'm just telling you what works for me. If you ain't reading, ain't staying in church, ain't being faithful to your prayer, and if you ain't fasting, how are you going to ever expect to accomplish anything? Hey, religion won't get you anywhere. A religion will keep you right where you are. But a relationship will help you grow. When you love somebody, "Well, I love Jesus, really? Then why do you treat him the way you do?" Now, I'm just asking you for something I learned. I've been there. "Oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I love you." I just ask you this. I'm just saying this. Belief brings action. If you believe something, you do something about it. You don't just sit there and do nothing with it. I'm sorry. Number two, if I have Jesus Christ living inside of me, which thank you, I do, I'm not going to stay the same person. He's not going to bring me to a certain level and say, okay, I'm done with you. That ain't happening. Because as long as I have breath in my nostrils, God needs to take stuff away from me. He needs to correct me. There's things that have to be done. You know what? Here I am in my pride. I can do everything. Yep, I read in the morning, but you know what? I ain't getting none out of it. It don't matter to me. I don't need to fast. What do you mean fast? I wonder why things weren't happening in our family the way they were. And listen, this is something me and my wife went over together. This ain't something that I just said, hey, me man, you need this, not me. No. This is something me and my wife had to sit down and pray to God over and ask God, help us, show us. You know what Job said? Don't condemn me. Show me where you're content with me. Show me what's the problem.
That's right. It's good.
Show me. That's one of my prayers. Lord, please don't condemn me. I don't see why you're doing this. Please show me why you're content with me. What is it? He'll show you. Are you going to be willing to see it? Jesus was telling them it was going to take more than works to cast these devils out. It was going to take the power of God in their lives and for them to be right with God for this to happen. Didn't they cast out devils and heal before? Yes, they did. But Jesus was teaching them that it won't all be the same. Every trial in your life cannot be handled the same. They're going to be handled differently. When things come up in your life, you can't just say, well, last time I answered it this way. You know what? You may get nothing from it. You got to do it something different. Try some fasting, some praying. Okay? You need to be prayed up. You need to be fasting. You need to be reading your Bible, being obedient, because Jesus tells them this kind came forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. In truth, Jesus was telling them, there's more than just a typical battle that goes on, and you need Jesus to be right with you to give you the victory. There's more than what you can see that's going on. There's more that you cannot fight on your own, that you need to be right with Him, and things need to be good with Him before you're ever going to be able to have any kind of victory in your life. Or you'll just do like them disciples did. Go out there and do the works in your own pride and accomplish nothing ever.
Yep.
You'll be that way for 10, 15, 20 years. That drives me nuts when I hear people say that. Drives me nuts. Well, I got saved and then I lived for 40 years any way I wanted. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ. Oh, man, listen. You mean to tell me Jesus Christ is that weak inside of you? I can't swallow that. Thank God He didn't leave me the same person I was. Thank God He didn't leave me back there. I wanted to escape from that, not stay in it. He gave me a way to escape. Anyway, let me go on. Verse 19, we see the second thing that's taking place here. In verse 19, he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground in a wall of foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago since this came from unto him? And he said, as of a child. And oftentimes he had cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. Here's the man's answer. But if, thou canst do anything. But if, Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion. If you can do something, Jesus. If. That word if, that little two-letter thing, is the worst thing a lost person or a Christian could ever say to Jesus Christ. If you can do anything. If thou canst do anything.
Well, verse 23, Jesus says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And straightway the father child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And I believe Jesus had a tone about himself when he said that. If thou canst believe. You're questioning me? Here's where the whole problem is lying. The whole problem is lying in the man's heart. Jesus Christ is trying to get him to see what's embedded in his heart. Let me not get ahead of myself. But he asked Jesus, if thou canst. And Jesus Christ says, if thou canst believe. Why would he say that to him? If thou canst believe. Because he's dealing with the man's heart. He's trying to show him exactly what's in there. He's dealing with the man's heart. This has nothing to do with the little boy. God, Jesus is dealing with the man's heart. If thou canst believe. And then he goes on and he says,
Here we see Jesus talking to the faithless generation. He's not talking about the disciples, because it isn't till later that they ask the question, why couldn't we do it? But here he's talking to the man and the religious crowd, asking that why the disciples couldn't do it. And we see in the verses 17 and 18, it says, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought my son unto thee, which hath a dumb spirit, and whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to the disciples that they should cast them out, and they could not. And Jesus replies, oh, faithless generation. Then Jesus asked the man, how long has this been going on? And the man tells him a long time, and it describes what's been happening. And the man hints that he's heard about what Jesus Christ has done, and the casting out of devils and the healing. And the man's end, his statement was, but if thou canst do anything. And Jesus had a good response for him, and he said, if thou canst believe. I believe that Jesus Christ had a tone about his voice, because Jesus knew what was in this man's heart. Jesus was dealing with this man's heart. Verse 24 says, and straightway the father child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. This is a strange statement that we see here. I believe the Bible doesn't say this, but what I believe was happening is the man is standing there in front of Jesus Christ. And after Jesus says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. The man stood there and he pointed and he says, I believe. Yep. Help my unbelief.
Yeah, there you go.
Help my unbelief. I believe because all the testimonies I've heard. I believe because all the things that I've seen and so on. But you know what? I have unbelief in my heart. I'm just telling you today, knowledge ain't going to save you. Knowledge didn't hang on the cross. Jesus Christ did.
That's right.
There's a place for knowledge. But that knowledge will never get you anywhere with Jesus Christ. I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. What are we turning to, man? How about the physicians? What are we turning to, money? How much do we really believe? Are we trying to hold on to Jesus Christ with our knowledge? Lord, I believe. They help my unbelief. He's got unbelief in his heart. He's full of it. I was talking to somebody this morning, and I deal with a lot of inmates, deal with a lot of people who write letters and so on, and their letters are full of knowledge. That's all it is. They're trying to prove to me and trying to prove to themselves through knowledge that they're okay with Jesus Christ. That's all they're trying to do. They believe, but Jesus hasn't helped their unbelief. Isn't got to the core of the real problem. They can't see it because they're all puffy. You know what the Bible says? Knowledge puffeth up. But what? Charity edifieth. I don't care how much you think you know. All the memory verses our children learn. And this includes my children. All the memory verses that our children learn, do they live them? Oh, let's teach you a verse. Let's teach you a verse. And then when that problem arises, you know what? None of our children are living them. Why? I believe. But you really don't believe it to make you do something about it. Because I'm telling you, if you believe what the Bible said, you would do what it says. I believe that if you really believe what that said in your heart and that Jesus Christ has stepped in when those problems come up, you know what? Hey, you're going to do what God says. And I'm just telling you, this is what I've been going through for the last few weeks. Lord, yes, you're right. I believe. Do you? Let's just start pulling that rug out a little bit. Let's just start removing stuff. Let's see where you turn to. I turned to man, I turned to physicians, and I turned to money. And you know what I didn't get? None of them. But I got an answer from God.
Amen.
I got an answer from God that I really wasn't believing he could do it for me and my family. That's what I got. You say, well, gosh, it ain't much. Maybe not to you, and I'm sorry you're in that position. But I sure am thankful that God sat there and taught me something in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of the burning desert, in the midst of the lion's den. God said, Dale, I want you to sit down, and we're going to have a talk.
Amen.
We talked. And I understood. You asked my wife how excited I got. I said, there it is. That's her answer. And I'm just telling you, in the midst of it, in the midst of the trouble, peace came over my house, man, and it was a wonderful thing because God had just told me and my family what's going on. You believe me for everything else, but you can't believe me for simple things. You can't believe me because I'm going to put you through some hard waters. I'm going to put you through some trials and so on. But you want to believe everything else. There's a reason why God warns us not to get into believing in man and into money and not believing into the physicians. You know what? We're supposed to go to him and him first. Him first. Him. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not into your own understanding. What's the very first thing we do is lean on our own understanding. We go right to the doctors. We go right to the men. We go right to the money. We go right to this. We go right to that. I'm just telling you now, we forget about God. And wonder why our life is the way it is. It's never going to get any better. Lord, I believe. Boy, when troubles come, ask God to help your unbelief. Mm-hmm. Ask him. That's the most important. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to be able to trust him fully. You mean to tell me we can trust him for salvation? For eternity? And we can't trust him with our very lives? That's where we go. Oh, when the desert comes. Job got everything taken from his wife. I tried telling my wife this. I told her, honey, I'm not going to curse God and die. She hit me, bonk. Just kidding. But Job, he went through all that. And you know what? He didn't curse God. How many of us wants to go through what Job went through? How many in here could raise their hand and say, yes, Lord, I believe. No, I'm just telling you. Hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I can handle it. Matter of fact, probably not. I'm 5 years old in the Lord. I'm learning how to walk. And I mean, I'm telling you, he's put the boots on me. He says, we're going to endure hardness. You're going to get through it. You're going to have to learn how to trust me. And that's all there is to it. Because you know what? It's the more that I don't trust him, the more he drags me through it. Oh, wait, you think you're at the end of your rope? Here, take some more. Now keep going. Oh, wait, you think you got to the end of the rope there? Keep going. Got to trust him that he knows what he's doing. Oh, we can't do that, though. Well, I thought you trusted your Bible. I thought you believed it. Knowledge will not get you anywhere. And it's very important. All through your Bible tells you to learn knowledge. Okay? It does. But that shouldn't take precedence over Jesus Christ. That should not. Because I'm just telling you now, knowledge didn't hang on the cross. Jesus Christ did. He's the one who's going to take that away. He's the one who's going to give you that belief. He's the one who's going to give you that trust. Churches today are filled with people. Oh, I believe. And as soon as something comes, bam, they're out the door, never to see them again. That's how much they believe. Belief. Boy, it's hard. I mean, it's tears. Begging God, please. Thank God for brothers and sisters for prayer. Who keep asking you things and come on, man, you can do it. You get through it. You just can, please throw me that lifeline. And Jesus said, I am the lifeline. I am the light, but you're not seeing it. You're looking everywhere else. You're not seeing it. I'm right here. It's because I believe. That little boy sat there and suffered with devils in him because his dad didn't believe. I don't see Jesus. I don't see Jesus asking that little boy, do you believe? No, he was dealing with the Father.
Good.
That's the role of a father. Where's that faith in the fathers? I'm talking about every father in here. You're not excluded. Where's that faith?
Come on.
Do we have it? Is it going to pass down to our children? Are they going to be able to let devils cast out of them? How's their life going to be? Is that cycle going to be broken in your life? Is it ever going to stop? Is it going to stop the suffering and the tortures that go on in the United States of America because everybody kicked God out? You know where it started? It started in the homes. It started in the fathers' hearts. That's where it started. Disgraceful. I watch, man, I travel around all the time and I see people call themselves Christians and the way they live and treat their kids and so on and so forth. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed. What do you really believe? Because I'm just telling you, Bryson, belief is going to have such an effect on your life that people around you are going to notice. I know people sitting in these pews, man. I'm just telling you, the effect because of their belief has been a huge impact on my life. And I can't get into everybody. I've watched men of God over the years take care of their wives and so on, how they raise their children, how they handle the Bible, how they talk. I mean, just different situations. I take all that in. I'm not a child, but you know what? I have to learn that stuff. I have to understand that stuff. I got to learn how to do that stuff. Why? Because I got children right there. I got to pass it down to them, don't I? You know what I told Neil? My kids pray at night. The other day, I'm just telling you, Pastor, the Lord smote my heart something fierce. Luke said, "Dad, I'm going to go pray real good." Brother, I told him, came back. You know why he learned that? Because I said me and my mother used to pray. I'm going to go pray real good. Hang on. Yeah, I'm done.
That's what my kids seen in us.
That's how important prayer is to you?
How's your Bible reading? Your kids aren't watching? You don't think your kids know? You don't think they notice that?
Dad, we're going through hard times, I know. But you said you believe in God. You think he's going to take care of us? That's what my kids were saying. Dad, you say you trust God all the time. Are you trusting him now? Dad? Hey, Mom. You guys are yelling an awful lot. I thought you said you trust God. I thought you said you believe that he could take care of us.
Well, that's what it is. That's what it's all about. No, Luke.
Yes. I believe God. I believe him because I know a verse, but I can't live it. Pastor Haney preached a message that I'll never forget. There's been some guys that came up here that preached some messages that I'll never forget. And Pastor Haney says, if you can't live the doctrine you know, it ain't no good. And I'm telling you, that's the truth.
Right.
I don't care how many verses anybody in here knows or how much Bible you know. If you can't live what that Bible says, it's nothing.
That's right.
Dead works.
Belief is going to give you a driving force in your heart that's never been there. But you got to go through it. You know what David says? He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Why? That thy bones that thou hast broken. God has got to break you. And then he'll restore that.
Create me a clean heart, oh God. Oh, that can't happen. Sure it can.
Step by step, little by little, God can clean that heart up. And renew a right spirit within me. I have a bad spirit? Sure we do. Remember how much we trust God and we start going through the hard times? Where's our spirit then? Huh? We got a broken spirit. We got a broken heart, but we're not contrite because we don't. You know what it says? Anything that is not of faith is what? Sin. Have you asked God to forgive you for your sin of not having faith today?
How many do you pray that? When's the last time you said, Lord, you know what? I didn't have faith in that situation. Forgive me. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's an important thing. It's called sin. He says in 1 John 1:9 that if we got to confess our sins. Yeah. And what is he going to do? He's going to forgive us. So if you don't, hey, you know what? We have unconfessed sins in our life if you're not confessing your sin of not having faith. How many in the pews? I don't want to show hands. But how many in the pews do you think that is today? I believe.
Our prayer should be, help our unbelief. Help our unbelief. I believe. I know what your Bible says. I know what happens to people. I see it. But Lord, I'm sure struggling right here. I still don't have that belief. I believe. Help out my unbelief.
You know what happened? I believe here. It doesn't say. The man understood what Jesus Christ was trying to show him. He understood that. He got it. You know why I know he got it? Because Jesus Christ healed that little boy.
Amen.
You know why he healed that little boy? Because Dad got it. You know what I believe else happened? I believe that man went home with his son. And I believe he went home if he had any other children and his wife, and I believe they prayed and they got right with God, I bet you.
Amen.
Why? Hey, men. Society tells you that men are not important anymore. They make us look like a bunch of buffoons. But I'm just going to tell you now, God has an order, and you know what? It starts with us in our homes.
Amen.
Kyle, it starts right there with you, buddy. It's not such an easy thing.
No, it's not.
It's not an easy thing. But you promised those two right there, Kyle, that you'll do everything. What God says, and that you'll start believing and trusting him. Let him direct your life.
That's right.
People, I got to close. How many of us in here today, we have that belief, but we're getting that, we don't have that belief in our hearts. Have that belief in your hearts. Get right with God, man, please. Even you older men that have children that ain't in the home, you still have an influence on them.
That's right.
Don't give up on that influence on influencing your children. And you know what? Let's pray for one another. The Bible says pray for one another. Why? Because it's going to make some things happen. Let's make those things happen. Pastor, I'm done.
Pastor Hank. Yeah, I'm very good.